Just something that God spoke to me. You know, God speaks to us through the everyday little situations that we face every day. And I was driving back from Amersfoort, just, you know, not far from here, where my parents live. And it was raining and thundering, or not really thundering, lightning. And I was on my way back last weekend, and I only had Caleb, our little 2.5-year-old, in the car. And Caleb does not like his car seat. He really does not like his car seat. So I strapped him in his seat, and as I was driving, as we started on the road back from Amersfoort to Standerton, he started moaning and saying, take me out, mark my nose, take me out of the seat. And then he can speak quite well now. And he said, you must take me out of my seat. And I was just there saying, no, Caleb. And eventually he started crying, and eventually he was screaming and kicking. And he was screaming and kicking, take me out of my seat, I want to be out of my seat, take me out of my seat, now, now, now. Then he said, pull over, stop, and take me out of my seat. And, you know, I was saying, God, can you please just speak to this child, because he doesn't listen to me. Can you just tell him to shush, there's nothing that I can do. And God spoke to me so powerfully. God said to me, you are exactly the same. I said, and how am I the same? And God said to me, Caleb is convinced, in his 2.5-year-old mind, he is convinced the best thing for him is not to be in his seat. He is convinced that the best thing for him is to sit right here next to me in the front without a safety belt, fitting with the aircon, fitting with the radio, fitting with the gears, grabbing the steering wheel. He is convinced that is the best thing for him. And because he is so honestly convinced, that is why he's screaming and kicking and insisting. God says, but you are trying to be a good parent. I have anointed you to be a parent. And as a parent, you know not to take him out of his car seat. You know it's raining, the road is full of potholes, there are big trucks coming to and fro. You know it's Easter weekend and lots of cars. And you know as much as he's screaming, the best thing for him is to stay in that car seat. And God said, I am your father and I am a good parent. And there are many things that you are convinced of. And you think you know, and you insist and you scream and kick, and you are constantly asking me, and I'm telling you now, I know what I am doing. I need you to trust me. And God said to me, can God trust you as a mother? And I said, yes, God, I really think you can. I'm doing my very best to be a good mother. And God said, you can trust me as a father. And I really believe that this is a word for us as a church this morning. We think we know what's best, but God knows, and we can trust in God. Okay, I would like to start with the scripture, Ephesians 4. If we can just get it up there, thank you. I'm going to read my scriptures from the screen there. I've got a different version here. Before we read that scripture, we had the planted conference 2 or 3 weekends ago. I can't remember exactly when. And some of us were there. And on the Sunday after the planted conference, there was a very powerful message by Pastor Fred May. And Pastor Heinrich from Johannesburg phoned us, and he said, listen to this message. It really is a powerful word from God, and I want to share some of that message with us this morning. But before I do that, I want to encourage us, those of us who can, those of us who do have internet access, for those who don't know it, all our sermons can be downloaded. You go to Shofar Standerton, just Google Shofar Standerton, and the message goes to downloads, and the messages are there, and it's free. If you have internet access, you can download it. But you can go to any Shofar church and download any message. And there's a message, if you Google Shofar Pretoria, the date was 17 March, and there's a message by Pastor Fred May that says, speaking the truth in love. And Pastor Fred May is the father of our church. He and his wife We saw my other founders of Shofar Christian Church. There are about 28 Shofar churches, and sometimes there's a word from the Father that we just need to hear. And I want to encourage us to go, those of us who can, download that message and listen to it, and just hear the heart of the Father. But for those who can't, and for those who are not going to download it, I am trusting God to convey some of the heart of the Father of our church to us this morning, which really is potentially life-changing. And I want to read from Ephesians 4, verse 13 to 15. It speaks about spiritual maturity. And so we shall all come together to that oneness in our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God. And there I underlined it, we shall become mature people, reaching the very height of Christ's full stature. Note, it's speaking about mature people, and it's speaking about the full stature of Christ. If I can have the next slide. Then we shall no longer be children, carried by the waves and blown about by every shifting wind of the teachings of deceitful people who lead others into error by tricks. Can I have the date in there? Instead, by speaking the truth in a spirit of love, we must grow up in every way to become like Christ, who is the head. So what I want to speak about this morning is about spiritual maturity. Now, what is spiritual maturity? And I know we've said this before, and we say it quite often. I'm going to say it again this morning. You know, we tend to think that spiritual maturity is the ability to pray in tongues. We tend to think, even if we don't want to acknowledge it, that is what we think. We think spiritual maturity is the ability to interpret tongues. We think there's a demon manifesting here in the front, and the person who runs and who has the ability to drive out this demon, we would like to see that person as spiritual mature. We look at the one with the microphone who is me this morning, and we tend to think because that person has the microphone, that person is spiritual mature, and indeed that person should be. But we assume that spiritual maturity and spiritual authority is a certain kind of ability that we have as Christians. And I want to challenge that kind of thinking this morning. Should we be able to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Yes, absolutely. Should we be able to pray in tongues, to interpret tongues, to bring a testimony, to bring a song, to drive out a demon, to testify? Yes, absolutely. We are called to do that. We should be able to do that. But what does the Bible say this morning? And not just this morning, ever since the Bible was written, it's been saying the same. What does it say about spiritual maturity? The word that we just read now. It says, I desire for you, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, I desire for you to grow up spiritually, to become mature in the fullness of Christ. And then he says, and speak the truth in love. And this morning I want to say, who are spiritual mature? Because that is what we are aiming for, that is what we want. We want to become spiritual mature. Now, the Word of God says, some of us will one day stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, a dreadful day for some and a glorious day, hopefully, for all of us. And we will stand before Christ, and to some people, He will say, this is the scariest of scary scriptures in the Word of God. Some people will stand before Him and they will say, we drove our demons in your name. We healed people in your name. Now, note, are we impressed by that? Yes, we are. Are we impressed by people who can pray for other people and then they become healed? Of course we are. That's okay. It's not a sin to be impressed. We are impressed by people who can speak to a humongous demon and it goes. Yes, we are. That is okay. But the word of God says some of us will stand before him and we will say, but we did this and we did that. We had the authority to do that. And God will say, go away from me. I do not know you. That scares the living daylights out of me. That one can move on such a level of ability, and yet Almighty God, who gives the ability to do that, will say, go away from me. I do not know you. Now, what does the word say here? The word says, become mature and learn to speak the truth in love. What does Jesus say about the commandments? He says, yes, there are many rules and regulations. I can sum it up in one sentence. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love other people in the same way. And that is spiritual maturity. Love. We can all prophesy, we can all drive out demons. I once prayed for a 12-year-old girl to be filled with the Holy Spirit, a girl coming from a very broken background. And I started to explain to her the gift of tongues. I was so busy explaining to her what is going to happen when she's baptized with the Holy Spirit. And she looked me straight in the eye and she started speaking in tongues, more tongues than I've ever heard anybody speaking for the first time. It was not a word or two words, it was sentences, paragraphs of tongues just flowing out of her mouth, just speaking in tongues. We can all do that instantly when the Holy Spirit comes over us. We can do these things. It doesn't even take that much discipline. It can happen. What is a spiritual mature Christian? A spiritual mature Christian is somebody who can understand that everything about God is love, and who can do what? Who can express that love towards the people around him. That is spiritual maturity. And that is where God says, they will know you by the way that you can drive out demons, the way that you can prophesy, how big your church is, how much money you have. No. They will know you by the love that you have for each other. They will know you by your love, and they will want to become a part of you. Why? Because of your love. Now, this really is when we need to sit down this morning. We are sitting down. We need to go home after this message, and we need to think, and we need to pray. And we need to think, how are we when we come to church? How are we when we go to school? How are we when we worship? And how are we at work? And how are we at home with our husband and our children? And is that the same thing, or are those two different things? Now, we can stop here at the church on a Sunday morning at 9:15, and we can get out of the car, and we can see somebody that we don't really like and not really meet them, and we can come in by the door, and we can grab the best seat, and we can do all kinds of things. But when we worship, we become so very holy, and we become so very reverent. And the measure of spiritual maturity can be, the way that it can be measured is, how are we when we are spiritually focused? How am I here and now while I am preaching? And how am I tomorrow when I go to Pick and Pay? Yesterday, not this week, this past week, I did go to Pick and Pay, and I was driving. And I did whatever I had to do first at the shower or what it could be. I never know who they are. The garage there at the Pick and Pay, I was filling up there. And then I drove out and I parked in front of the Crazy Store. And on my way out with some children to go to Pick and Pay, some of my children. There was a baby with another baby next to her, a little baby in the car, that pulled up right next to me. So I got out of my car and she said to me, excuse me, lady. Excuse me, can I talk to you? So I was thinking, wow. And I said, yes, sure. And she said to me, can you please Those of you who might know me, I drive so slowly, I irritate the rest of the world on the road. They sometimes show me ugly signs because I'm probably upset because I'm too slow. So I looked at her and she was really ugly with me. Sadly, how I almost killed her children and my children there in the parking lot when I turned. No, and I looked at her and I really wanted to say, drink a chopo. I really wanted to say, chillax. Relax, chill, you know, just breathe in, breathe out, get over yourself, don't take your issues out on me. I really wanted to say that. And just before I opened my mouth, the Holy Spirit said to me, love. And I looked at her and I said to her, I am so sorry. And I was thinking, I did nothing wrong. And she looked at me and I said, I am so sorry that I drove like that and that I offended you. Can you please forgive me? And she said, yes, I will forgive you. And I said, thank you and have a wonderful day. And then I honestly didn't mean to offend you. And I walked away. You know, and I was really angry. And the Holy Spirit said to me, good, well done. Your testimony is still in place. That lady, wherever she is, if she ever finds out that you are a pastor's wife, she will say yes. She lived that testimony. And now I was just challenged again with my heart and my attitude. Because I realized afterwards, this person that I was looking at, I do not know her. I do not know what is happening in her home. I do not know anything about her children. I don't know what happened to her this morning and what is going to happen to her this afternoon. I don't know what is going on in her heart. I don't know how she grew up. I know nothing about her, but clearly she is angry and she is in desperate need of love and affection and attention. And just the little bit of love that I could give could make a difference. So am I now going to be upset because I'm being falsely accused, or am I going to have the love of Christ in my heart to see beyond that, to see the bigger picture? Now the word here, and I want to read the next scripture there, from, I'm not sure where, Georgie, can you just pick that up for me? Yes. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I am an adult, I am no more use for childish ways. The next scripture here. Oh, sorry, that's it. So I really want to speak about the fact that the Word of God says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. And now that I am grown up, I need to act like a grown-up. So we have small children, and I'm right slap bang in the middle of having small children, and I know exactly what I'm speaking about. When we have small children, we need to teach them. We all agree on that. We need to teach them. We understand that we need to teach them. Now here's the question. Carlet is my main person that I used this morning. Carlet is 3.5 years old. And then there's little Matthew here. How old is Matthew? Yeah. 10 months. Matthew is 10 months old. So Matthew is quite at home with us and spends quite a bit of time at our house. So Matthew was there yesterday. So Matthew is sitting on the floor and playing with his toys. Now Carlet, 2.5 years old, is approaching Matthew. Now me and Anton and Rachel, and even Mikaela and Mike, who's a little bit older, we all watch this thing now. We all know that now we should watch. So Carlet walks up to Matthew and he says, he called him Matthew. So Carlet says, Matthew Baba, I can Matthew a drink here. No, I'm gonna hug him now. And we all say the same thing. We all say, softly. Do it softly. Carlet, do it softly. And 5 minutes later, the same love that he had for Matthew changes instantly into rejection, or whatever you want to call it, because now Matthew took Carlet's favorite toy. he's planning on grabbing that thing out of Matthew's arms now, and Matthew will fall over because he's not that stable yet, and. So now we all go, me and Marlon, this neck is just a little baby, just be careful. No, don't grab, just, you know, also, let's share. This is what we constantly do when we raise children. So I came home with Carter just after he was born. The first evening I came home, now there's a new baby, and I'm trying to bath this baby, and there are 8 little hands in that bathtub, my 4 other children, trying to help me to bath this baby. One is grabbing, the baby's 3 days old, and one is grabbing his foot, and one is splashing water in his eyes, and when I keep on saying, no, softly, not like this, remember it's a baby. She had a lot of practice. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong with garlic. We all expect him, being 2.5 years old, to do that. We don't blame him. We don't say, oh, what an immature child. Because we understand. As far as it goes, for 2.5 years old, he's immature. He does what a 2.5-year-old is more or less supposed to do. But we all understand that we need to teach him. And the main thing that we are trying to teach our children is to love well, is to be good children who can love well, who can adapt and who can be good people in this world and who can make a positive contribution. Now, this is what often happens with us being the children of God. We become born again, and as born again Christians, we are still children. That is why Paul says, you know, there's another instance in the Word where he speaks about the milk, and he says, when you just came to Christ, I gave you milk, because if you are a newborn, you cannot eat a scalp trophy. You can drink milk from your mother's breast, that's what your body can take. Is there anything wrong with that? No, that's the way it is. But you need to mature out of it. So when we come to Christ, we can only take milk, but then we need to grow out of that milk. And how do we do that? The people around us are supposed to teach us. But this is what I want to address this morning, and this is something that we often see in church, that we are really, and if you listen to this message of Pastor Fred, which is, I'm re-preaching his message, which is really something that we as a church group feel, where God's leading us now simply to learn how to speak the truth in love. Because there are so many people in the body of Christ, and this really is worth listening to now. There are so many of us who are spiritually so mature, but emotionally, we never learn about softly, kindly, not so harsh. We never learned this. You know, and I remember in my earlier days of preaching, sometimes I would have a message, and I would think that people need to understand this. And I would feel very strong about it, and I would come out with the microphone, and I would give it to them. And I would tell them, this is the way it is, and this is the way it should be. And the people would look a little bit, you know, like I'm scaring them or something, and they would leave church looking like they feel a little bit condemned. And that goes for many preachers in the charismatic church, I think, all over. You know, God had to speak to me, and he has to speak to many of us, and he still has to do it, where we need to learn about speaking the truth in love. And this is something that as a church and as individuals, we really need to get a grip on. You know, if we look at Jesus was so different. We see it in the Word of God once he becomes angry and he's in the temple. And that is the only time that we really see Jesus doing it. And he throws over the tables and he's very radical in his anger and he says, my father's house should be a house of prayer. That was a godly anger. We can all sometimes get a godly anger. And I'm not going to preach about that this morning. But we look at Jesus and we see how absolutely different he was. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's being beaten up until the point where he could not be recognized. And he's hanging there on the cross. He's naked. He did not have a little dicky like all the pictures. He was naked. The most shameful death that anybody can ever die. He's in so much pain, it cannot even be described. Some of us see movies about it. I do not, I avoid that, I cannot handle it. And he's hanging there on the cross and he says, my father, I want to speak to you about these people who are crucifying me. They don't know what they are doing. I want to ask you, can you please forgive them? Can you please not make them pay for this sin that they are committing? Because they don't know, and because I love them. So when we start speaking about the love of God, there's something that we must understand. It is not a kind of love that we possess. It is not a kind of love that we can imitate by ourselves. Not even the love of a mother for her child can even be compared or come close to the love that God has for us. And yet God says, this is the love that I give to you, and this is the love that I want you to give to other people. It can only happen by my Holy Spirit, and it can only be received and given by somebody understands that I do not possess it. I was not born with it. I cannot just fake it. It has to come from God Himself. I want to read to you from Romans 3. Let me just have that scripture, Georgie. Is it there? No. Sorry, Georgie. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 9 to 11. We all know that 1 Corinthians 13 is the book of love, and we all love to quote it, and we all love to speak about love. But verse 9 says, for our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. Next one?
Nope.
Is that it? Okay. So what Paul is saying here, he says there is something that we must understand. He tells us about love and what love is and how the love of God is. And then he says, but there is something that we must understand. Our understanding of love is only partial. It cannot be grasped. It cannot be understood. It cannot come from ourselves. And when you go to Romans 3, I'm not going to read it now, you can look it up. But when you go to Romans 3, it very clearly says there, in the following words, it says, we are all liars. And Pastor Fred was bringing this word and made the people repeat after him. I'm not going to do it like that. But he said, can you all repeat after me, I am a liar. Can you do that? Can you repeat after me, I am a liar?
I am a liar.
The word of God says, we are all liars. Now, I want to give you an example of that. We come to God and I also want to explain to us how God has seen us. And how he wishes for us to see the people out there, the people God. And I'm sure most of us have done this. I certainly have done this 1,000 times. We come to God very emotional, sometimes not even that emotionally, but we come to God and we say, God, I give you my life. I give you my everything. Who of you have done that? Okay, most of us. God, you can have it, you can take it. God, wherever you send me, whatever I have to do, God, that is fine by me, I will die for you. I give you my life. And when we do that, we mean it. I want to give you an example before I carry on with this example. Yesterday, me and Rachel were at home preparing for today and you and just being in and around the kitchen. So I said to Rachel, I'm just going to finish here, then I'm going to wash the dishes. So Mikhailo is 9 and Misha is 7. We're in the kitchen and so Misha says, we want to wash the dishes, we will wash the dishes. So there's a lot of dishes. And I said to them, if you don't have to wash the dishes, that's okay. And they say, we want to wash the dishes, we will wash all the dishes, we will clean this kitchen, we will do it. Now being 58 years old, that is my age, you know, them being 8 and 9, 7 and 9, I know exactly. So I say, okay, you are welcome, you can wash the dishes. So after 10 minutes of washing dishes, they vanish. They're gone. So I look for them playing outside and said, what about the dishes? And they go, we couldn't find the cloth and the dishwashing before was finished. And we didn't have any new bottle was, and you know, lots of little... You know, here's the thing. They really meant it. They were really honest. They wanted to wash the dishes. I can see it in their eyes. They really wanted to. It's just that they were lying. Because they're too young to clean the whole kitchen unless they are forced to do it. We come to God and we tell God anything, anywhere. I had an interesting conversation with friends of ours who had to move, grew up in Cape Town. I mean, that's, you know, growing up in Cape Town and had to move here to Secunda. And I spoke to the lady and she said to me, all she knows is the mountain and the sea and the vineyards. She doesn't know anything else but the fresh air and how they live in Secunda and then in Sasso. And, you know, she's trying to jog but she can't breathe. And she says to me, I said to God I will go where there is no water and no electricity, but I can't even go in Secunda. She says, we've got a house and I've got a dog, but I hate it. She says, I'm such a loser. I was lying to God when I said that. That is exactly my point this morning. The word says we are all liars because we are all liars. You know, we tell God anywhere, anything, and God says, okay. So let's speak about your spending habit. Let's speak about the fact that you sleep so late every morning. Let's speak about the fact that relationship with your mother that you still have to fix. Can we talk about that? And we say, God, everything but that. You know, when I was about 9, I had a little Maltese poodle, you know. Few people like those dogs. Most people hate them, but I love them. I have little poodle, and she died, and I was heartbroken, and my dad felt so sorry for me, and I was crying, and my dad was rubbing my back, and rubbing my head, and he said, my baby, you can have any other dog that you want, any other dog you can have, and I said, what a selfish dog, and my dad said, anything but a sausage dog. Anything. So my dad, you know, so God comes to us and God, and we, but this is the thing with God. He doesn't care. I'm not angry at Mikhailo and Misha for not finishing the dishes. I knew exactly, Rachel, we knew that I'm not going to clean the kitchen. I mean, it doesn't take, we don't have to be rocket scientists to understand that. We just know that. We come to God and we lie and we lie and we lie, and God doesn't care. Why? Because His love for us is so great and so vast, and because He has all knowledge. And the Word says God is the only one with perfect knowledge. God is the only one who knows everything, who can see the whole picture. So when we come to God, before it even happened, He knew what was going to happen. And then it happened, He knew what is going to happen. He knows all of it, and He is okay with that. It doesn't matter. So when I come to God and I say, God, I give You my life. I will give everything. I will go anywhere. But God knows I won't even want to go to Sukunda. He knows that. In a beautiful house with a beautiful garden. But I say, God, no electricity, no water. I will do it for You. You know what God says when you come to Him like that? He says, oh, my child, You are so precious. I love You so much. I see Your heart. I see Your heart. I understand Your heart and Your love for me. Even though it's so teeny little bit, I see it and I know it and I love You. And of course You want to go anywhere without light and electricity. Of course You want to do it. And I love You for it. I love Lisha for wanting to wash the dishes. I appreciate the fact that she wants to do it. I see her heart. And then when the poor boy hits the fan, and we only have to go to Sukunda and we cry our eyes out, God is there to comfort us. God is there to love us. He gives us a beautiful house and a beautiful garden in Sukunda, because that's what we can cope with right now. The air is really dirty, and that is as much, that is what we can cope with. And He knows that. And that is fine. And He loves us. And we are growing and growing and growing in that. Now, why am I sharing this? Because this is the way that God wants us to love others. So people come into our lives, people come into the church, and they lie to us, and they disappoint us, and they fail us. You know, I had this lady that I was really praying for, and I drive all the way to pick her up with all the children, to take them to small group, to take them to church. I use all my money. I do it. I preach at them. I pray for them. I buy them books just here, in our corner. I do whatever I can. And then I come there again, and there's been some drinking, and there's been some smoking, and there's been some swearing. Now we're not coming to church. Now we don't like church anymore. And I think, but God did not do that with us. And you know what is the interesting thing about God? He will send us the people that we don't want. At the workplace, He will give us the difficult, the if it is that very thing that we despise, it will be in the character of that person. And He will say, my love, take the way that I love you. Yes, that person is a liar, so are you. Yes, that person is weird, so are you. Yes, that person is lost, so are you. So take this love, and that is why the Word says, speak the truth in love. Speak with gentleness. I want to read another scripture. 2 Timothy 2:24-25. As the Lord's servant, you must not quarrel. You must be kind toward all, a good and patient teacher. The Word of God says you must be kind. Now, when it comes to an argument, when it comes to something where we differ with somebody, golden rule. Verse 25. Who is gentle as you correct your opponents? For it may be that God will give them the opportunity to repent and come to know the truth. In other words, what the Word is saying, it is not about the argument, it is not about who is right and wrong, it is not about who you believe this, it is not about that. It is about the person Christ that I need to bring to this person in love. In other words, if somebody comes to me and they say, evolution is the truth. There was a big bang and everything just happened and there was nothing, and then out of nothing, everything just happened, and that is what I believe, and that is the truth, and that is what we should teach our children. It is not about evolution. It is about this person that does not know the truth. And how will this person know the truth? When you argue and fight and give him the truth? No. You will reject him by loving him, by respecting him. And this is something that we must understand. The way that God respects us, because he never screams, he never shouts, he never rejects. His love is there over and over again. We lie to him, we fail him. He loves us through it. And we need to look at those people and we need to say, I respect you. I respect your view. I respect what you believe. And I love you. And if you never change your mind, I will still love you. Will you allow me to tell you what I believe? We do it out of respect. We are gentle about everything, about everybody that we encounter. I want to read another scripture, Philippians 4 verse 5. Show a gentle attitude toward everyone. The Lord is coming soon. You know, there is something about the power of God. I often look at Reinhard Bonnke. Who of you know who Reinhard Bonnke is? For those who don't know, he's the biggest evangelist that this world has ever seen. He's got more than 1 million people in one meeting. It is actually ridiculous. You look at the DVD and there are people, it looks like the sea, it's people, and then they actually have a sound system that can carry a voice for it. I mean, that's unthinkable. And we see the power of God manifested in those meetings. Like we hardly ever see it. We see a million people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We see people, radical healings, radical things done, lame people. We see the power of God in such a radical way. And I often ask myself, why do some people have so much success? And I don't know the answer to all of these things, but there's something that I do know. The vehicle to take the power of God to wherever you need to be is not ability and not gifting, it is the love of the Lord. What will change this world? What will change your colleague that works with you? What will change your unsaved father who is swearing at you and screaming at you? What will change that alcoholic that keeps on stumbling? What will change people? There's only one thing. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. The love that we are loved with. The love that says to me and you, yes, you lie. Yes, you fail. Yes. But that is fine. You are precious. And you are valuable. And your contribution matters a whole deal. Very much so. And I can use you. I can use you. You know, I'm almost finished. I think back often on Shofa and when we started. Shofa started in 1992 with Pastor Fred May and Lucille May and a couple of students. And then we were privileged to become a part of this group in until 1994, 1993, 1994, and me in 1995. And I remember how Pastor Fred May would trust students like us who knew nothing. We just became born again. We were wild. We were crazy. We knew nothing about nothing. We had nothing but a revelation of God and how much He loved us. That's what we had. And we changed. We changed the world. We are really changing the world slowly but surely. It all started there. We changed our hostels. We changed groups of friends. We changed. A lot of people changed. Why? Because God could use us. Because Pastor Fred trusted us. We knew nothing. We were clueless. We had no knowledge. But God knew. He could trust us because we understand His love. And this morning, what I want to end with this morning is, how can we change this city? How can we change this province? Simply by the love of Jesus. Do you know what I have learned being in the ministry? I have learned that often, and I've said this before, often people will come to us, they need advice, they are desperate for advice. I don't always know what to tell them. Very often, honestly, I do not have the answers. But I know how to love them, and I know how to pray with them, and I know how to trust with them, and their lives are being changed. And I went to God once, and I said, God, I was never trained as a counselor. I was never trained. I don't have any certificate to show for the knowledge of solving people's problems. God said to me, you're not in the business of solving people's problems. You are in the business of loving people. You are in the business of praying with people. And people come to see us and I tell them, listen, I can do this for you. I can pray with you. And I can love you. And I can encourage you to just follow God. And it will change your life. Can we quickly stand? Father, this morning we come before you. Father, as we have confessed this morning, as your word speaks, and your word always seems to be true, we are all liars, Father. Father, we only understand partially, Father. We only understand your love partially, Father. Father, the love that you have for us is not human love. It does not turn away when things get tough. It does not cringe when it is failed or rejected. And Father, at the church this morning, we come to you, God, and we want to confess. Yes, we are liars. Yes, we do not know the whole truth. Yes, we make such big promises and we say so many things. We so often fail. But Father, you still love us. You still embrace us. You don't even care. Because you see our hearts. You see our hearts and you appreciate our hearts. You appreciate our desire to know you. That is why we are here this morning. That is why we are not still sleeping. That is why we are not out there this morning doing something else. And Father, this morning as a church we come to you and we want to ask you to impart to us, to make us understand, to help us to become the agents of love that you are calling us to be. To give the love that we receive and to give it freely. And Father, so many prophecies went out over this church that you will sing the broken, that you will sing the sick, that you will send the ones who are imprisoned. Father, this morning our prayer is that we will just learn how to love. That we will just learn how to accept unconditionally those whom you send. And Father, this morning we want to lift up a prayer to those of our family members, our work colleagues. I want to encourage you this morning to think about those people. Think about the people in your family. Think about the friends. Think about the people at work. Think of those people who are in such desperate need for the love of Christ. The difficult ones, the rebellious ones, the ones who are unkind, the ones who are sharp with their tongues, the ones We bring it to you, Father, and we ask in the name of Jesus that we will, God, your word says that your grace is enough, that we will reach out to them, and that we will respect them, and that we will love them the way that you love and respect us. And God, that we will see how they change as we pray for them constantly, every day, trusting you for their salvation. We will see, God, how you change this community one by one, one by one, one by one, because of the love of Jesus. And Father, this morning we thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for the power available unto us. Father, we pray that we will never ever try to exercise the power without the love. Because then you will tell us that you do not know us. You will only know us if it is a love relationship that we are pursuing. Father, thank you that you are anointing every one of us to become gentle in every way. I want to ask you this morning if this is your desire, if your desire is to